still my heart. Well, it's another week, and we find ourselves right here, smack dab, in between Sundays. On a Wednesday. And Jason, I don't know if the listeners know this. We weren't here last week.
I don't know. There's a possibility that our absence went unnoticed.
Yeah, they might have listened and been like, I feel like he said that before.
Yes.
Because we played a best of show. That's a better way of saying rerun.
That is correct.
The Between Sundays.
Yeah, we just couldn't make it happen. You were out of town, yeah, and I was tied up a bit.
And we really spent a lot of time in getting a fill-in because you were going to be out of town. And then during all of those conversations, I never looked at my calendar.
Correct.
To see that I was going to be out of town.
I don't want to completely blame any one person, but I would absolutely say it was your fault.
I texted you last Monday. I was like, hey, so I'm out the rest of the week in Atlanta. I'm not going to be around.
And the reality was I was already supposed to be out. So you were the one that was supposed to be holding down
the fort. I was supposed to be. But the reality on top of that was – actually were here.
Correct. So if you don't know, a couple weeks ago I mentioned that I was going to be traveling to India, and that is indeed what I did.
You did travel to India.
However, I traveled from Knoxville to Philadelphia, Philadelphia to London, London to Hyderabad, India, and spent 2 hours in the Indian airport and was denied access into the country. And was then sent back on the exact same plane that I had just flown many, many, many hours on. It was a huge debacle. I've been there multiple times, have a 5-year visa, and there was a confusion about its expiration date. And unfortunately, our team continued on and had an amazing, amazing week and a half. However, I enjoyed I believe I actually took my kids to school on a Tuesday morning, had a 4 or 5 hour window, then jumped on airplanes, flew to India and back, and then took them to school on Friday morning. So
I remember looking on Instagram and Carrie, your wife, posted a picture saying, some things occurred having breakfast with Jason. I was like, hold on, things occurred. Okay, so I immediately texted you and was like, hey, so you were in Knoxville.
Correct.
Not India.
Yeah, she posted that we were having breakfast at First Watch West Knoxville as opposed to me eating a native meal in India. And that's what it is. So all this to say, we're glad to be here today.
We are. We are glad to be here today. And before we get into our topic today, I do think it's important that we mention what occurred yesterday with September 11th. I was 17, September 11, 2001.
Hard to believe it's been 17 years.
It's crazy it's been 17 years. And just reflecting yesterday and reflecting today, one thing that I think is important that we take away from 9/11, there's a number of things to take away from that. But we also need to look at how America, how the world acted on 9/12 and go back to that feeling of unity. And I know that at Shoreline we're going through a series right now on unity and civility. So I think it is important that we look back and go, okay, 9/12, there was something different about us after the attack on 9/11. And we've really moved a long way from that, in 17 years, but man, if we could get back to a place of loving our neighbor.
Yeah. My oldest son was, have to do a project for school. And he had to ask him questions to me and to Carrie about about our memories of 9/11. Mm-hmm. And one of the things was, how's the world changed? And, we can talk about security measures and we can talk about the fear of terrorism and all of those things. But I wanted to say we have become more unified, as a nation, we've become more unified as neighbors. And I think that was true for a season. Sure. And unfortunately, I believe over the 17 years, we may have kind of wandered back into waters that we really don't need to be.
Yeah, it's an interesting place for sure. I mean, I even look at it was transformative for me from a political engagement standpoint at 17 years old, looking for someone to kind of step up and lead. And we saw that in our president at the time. And And it really, but I even look at that moment in time where I thought I would be at 34 years old and where I am, and kind of what God worked through all of that is quite impressive. And not to mention the folks that, that after that day ran to a military recruiting station and signed up, and we have the lasting effects of that.
Where were you that day?
I was in Cornersville High School, senior year in Coach Lee's class. And math class, and it just kind of unfolded from there. And I remember going into the next class. No one was really telling you. I've read stories where they turned the TVs on. I don't remember that. Maybe that occurred. Yeah. I don't think that occurred. But I do remember going into my music class, and just looking at the teacher and saying, "Hey, y'all aren't being really upfront with us. Let's turn the radio on and see actually what's going on in our world." And it was just crazy. You know, even in my small town where I never thought, okay, Cornersville's the next on the list. But you went and got gas. You churches opened their doors and said, come and pray for our neighbors in New York. And, you know, just the constant stream of news. I feel like that's when cable news kind of started. Fox News was, you know, kind of birthed through that. And just that it's crazy to look back. That was before Twitter, before smartphones, before an iPhone.
Wait a minute. You're telling me there was life before all those things?
Crazy stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And
I was actually in Oak Ridge, Tennessee.
Which is probably a scary place to be.
It is a scary place to be on 9/11. Yeah. I had just come out of Oak Ridge, and then I can remember hurrying to our church and all of our staff circling around a big television and just watching things in horror. And realize, as I said to my oldest son in his report, I said, it's one of the few moments that you know that you're experiencing something that is going to change the course
without
of history.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. It's a rare moment for
sure. Yeah, without a doubt. It's one of those things where you know, you read about history and all through school. And now my kids came home from yesterday and I was like, what did y'all learn about 9/11? Like we were part, not part of that. We weren't in New York, but we were living in that moment and have vivid memories of what happened in the days after. So, if we could just get back to a place of caring about another, and that's what we want to talk about today is we see these moments of compassion and these moments of heroics
and need
in need sure. when disaster strikes, and not just terrorist attacks, but we're prepping right now for a natural disaster, a hurricane that's coming on shore in the next couple of days. And you have folks in the Carolinas and all over the East Coast that are mandatory evacuations in a lot of places. And we have friends that are in those areas that have already flown and left. We have some that have said, we're going to stick it out. Where does it play into how we love our neighbors, how we react in these times?
Yeah. My mother-in-law is actually here in town.
Yeah.
She lives in Pawleys Island, South Carolina, and she arrived yesterday as they were evacuated from their little community. And it is going to not only impact those people on the coast, but it's going to impact family members, and ultimately it's going to impact our economy. It's going to impact our nation as a whole, and it seems that it could be quite, quite bad. And so today what we want to do, in light of what we very well may be observing over the next couple days, and if it happens to be that it doesn't hit us to the degree that they're expecting, we can trust and know that inevitably some natural disaster will happen at some point again in our lifetimes. And so how do we process that, as you said, with the lens of the gospel always at hand?
Yeah. And so as we look at that, I think the church has a few things to look at. You have pastors right now on the East Coast that are saying, I can't evacuate. I have elderly members of my church that aren't leaving. I'm going to stay here with them. But they also have a spouse and kids and are trying to walk through that. You have people that have put their life savings into homes and things on the coast, and they're saying, what's going to happen? Or you have some folks that are saying, look, we always are told to leave and nothing ever happens.
Right.
But as we watch that from a standpoint of as Christians watch this, because what we're going to have and what we're going to hear always are the questions of where is God in this disaster? You know, is God the author of everything? Is God allowing these things to happen? Some may even say, is God ordaining these things?
Right. And did you say the O word?
I did.
I'm glad. I think that starts with an O.
Yeah,
no, it does for sure.
Yes. And so as we look at these things, I think it's important that we understand that we serve a creator, an author of life, and how do we look at that through the lens of a natural disaster?
Yeah, and I think we'll actually talk quite a bit about that even after the break. But one of the things that I think we have to be mindful of that we really spoke about even a few weeks ago when we talked about disasters like a mass shooting.
Sure.
You know, this is one of these things we have to be mindful that these are real people and real circumstances. And again, it's even already we're beginning to see, well, how's the president going to respond? And how's the government going to respond? Yeah. And it becomes these issues that feel very impersonal when at the end of the day, we're talking about real people with their real families and real stuff and, you know, their heritage and everything that they've invested into their communities. These are people that are being impacted. And so before we would even get into some of that other discussion, I think it's appropriate that for us as believers that we just pray very clearly for the people that will be impacted in these communities. And we're mindful that indeed they're hurting. And we're going to talk a little bit later in the show about we also have the opportunity to step in and to help in mm-hmm. certain ways as well.
Yeah. And the beautiful thing about all of this is we do serve a God, a creator that does control storms.
Yeah.
And so it's not the president of the United States that controls or can stop them or prevent them.
Yeah, well, you literally read a headline.
Yeah, there's a Washington Post editorial this week saying that the president is complicit in this hurricane. And that's just, regardless of where you fall on the fence, that's just silliness. This is a disaster that is going to not discriminate. When it hits the coast, it's not going to say, where are the Democrats or where are the Republicans? It's going to say, look, this is a storm that's coming. And so from that standpoint, we have image bearers that are lining the coast. Where do we go from there? And just looking at the bigger picture, what we're going to talk about when we come back is where is God in this disaster? We'll be back.
Be still my soul, it is dark outside. The Lord is near. Lord is near, and He will hold you in His strong arms, and He will fly you with His wings. He will lay you down in green.
And those are the beautiful vocals of one Jason Hayes. No. Yeah.
No.
No.
No. No.
No. Not a Jason.
It is an opportunity for us to mention, though, we've actually been writing some music, some new stuff that is most likely going to be released around the Christmas season.
That's
this
so
upcoming year.
Awesome.
Shoreline Church.
Chuck Hooten and Shoreline Worship. Like, I know we poke fun a lot and we take credit for all the stuff that he does, but seriously, the dude is super talented. Yeah. The Lord is really using his gifts and, always look forward when new music comes out because I know it's going to be great.
Yeah, so. It's great. It's really, really great. I've heard a little bit of it, and we're in for a treat for sure.
I'm surprised he hadn't reached out and asked me to help.
Yeah, no writing sessions planned for you.
Interesting.
Huh.
Yeah, maybe next time.
probably not.
So as we come back and we think about the hurricane that seems to be growing every single day and getting bigger and bigger. There's some questions that are of course going to come up, not just within the church, but within the greater culture of where is God? You may even hear people say, where is your God in this disaster? And so where do we start with that?
Yeah, I always start back from the very beginning. I mean, you look at Genesis when God speaks all these things into existence with the exception of man, where he breathes us into existence, which is really cool little side picture there of how we're made as image bearers. Mm-hmm. And we have that intimate relationship with God that's unique to us as opposed to anything else that is created. But we see that it's good and he's pleased with all of those things. And then, of course, we see in Genesis 3 where Adam is tempted by the serpent and ultimately, he falls into that temptation, leads Eve into that temptation. We see sin come into the world. And the thing that we often say, even with Shoreline, is that we often think that sin just begat more sin. And while that's true, sin actually brought on, begat more fallenness. And fallenness is a broad thing. It includes everything from insecurity to pride to shame to doubt to even things like this, sickness and illness and disaster, and even in this particular case, a natural disaster in the form of a hurricane. And some would say, well, how is that possible? Well, there is consequences of sin, and the repercussions of sin were broad, and it all the more elevates what Jesus did for us on the cross. And So we're constantly reminded, even in nature, that there is consequences and ramifications of sin. And so while it's very, very difficult for us to look at a natural disaster and see anything more than the storm that's coming, there is something for us to see in this that really it is an accentuation of our need for Jesus and a gratitude that we should find of what Jesus did for us on the cross.
Well, and it also points to the temporary nature of everything.
Right.
And so when sin entered and fractured everything, what was beautiful, marriage, which was a beautiful picture of the gospel, became fractured. And so you have divorce, and what there was just a bunch of things that were fractured. One of those is the weather. And if you look through scripture, you see moments where Jesus calms the storm. The disciples are freaking out and they're going out of their mind. And Jesus kind of wipes his eyes and says, stop it.
Right.
And then you see moments of when Jesus says, even if my disciples were not worshiping me, the very stones on the ground would call out. And to show, like, this is all under my authority,
right?
And so for me, it brings a sense of comfort to know that our God isn't up, just sitting there twiddling his thumbs, going, "Man, I wish I could do something."
Or is he surprised by it?
Yeah, he's not surprised by it, and he's not saying, "Man, if I could, I would stop this." It is he is all powerful and could certainly stop it. But there's moments that we, on this side, we may not ever understand, but it's certainly not one, and we talked about it off air earlier, it's not where you were really bad today,
no.
So your house is going to be targeted specifically by this natural disaster.
Yeah, I think what we do is we can say that God, whether he authors or allows, again, he's sovereign over these things, and so we can focus a lot on the why. But I think really maybe we focus on the what, and what it is a larger overall lesson that is being elevated to humanity. It is a reminder to us that so much that we place our hope in, so much that we place our identity in, is temporal in nature. And we're reminded of our own kind of fallibility. We're reminded how weak we are to a certain degree. But we're also reminded of some really great things. We're reminded of the beauty of the church when it can step in and intervene and care for people. Mm-hmm. We're reminded of how we're called to exist in community. We see God exist in community. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He exists in community. And thus, as image bearers, we're called to be people in community. And so what does our natural day-to-day routine do? Often it isolates us, unfortunately, in the year 2018. Mm-hmm. But when some of these things come, it reminds us of our need for other people. And so, again, what we don't want to do is to say God's, he's wrathful. And yet, that is true.
Sure.
We see that God is completely full of wrath, but it was placed on the shoulders of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so we all the more are grateful for grace. We're all the more grateful for the redemptive work that he did on the cross. We also are reminded that one of the things that happens in disaster, whether it comes in the form of a hurricane or whether it comes in the form of a loss of a family member or a loss of a job, hardship in our life, we are reminded that we cannot lean upon our own strength. And day after day, when things are really easy for me, man, Andrew, I'll tell you what, I'm so prone just to say, hey, I'm doing this really well, and it's just me, and I got it. But at times, as hard as it is to see that there could potentially even be a blessing in the midst of a hurricane, we might use this as an opportunity to say, yeah, God's in control. God is bigger than we are. Mm-hmm. God does remind us and care for us in those reminders that many of the things we place our hope in are temporal. And he's also drawing us to himself, saying, hey, in this moment, you cannot find all you need in you. So look elsewhere. And ultimately, we as Christ followers would say, look to Jesus.
Well, in these moments, regardless of what type of disaster it is, what you typically find after it's over is story after story of someone just showed up and helped, or someone did this, and they don't have any explanation for it. And there's moments of amazement. There's also moments of mourning and loss. And so when we walk through these times, what we have to understand is the last thing we need to do, excuse me, is after this is over, you know, Shoreline's not going to charter a bus and go to the coast and say, now Genesis 3 is why this happened.
Right.
We're here to help, but excuse me, but you know that Genesis 3 is why this happened. This isn't a moment for the church to just point to that, but as those questions arise, it is a moment for us to point to a God that is bigger than any disaster that may find its way to America, that God is bigger than any of that, and we find our peace and hope in who he is, not in our things, that doesn't mean it's easy to lose a home, it doesn't mean it's easy to lose family members, but what it does mean is in those moments, we can look to the greater Adam, the greater David, the which is Jesus.
Yep. I'm reminded of a story that I was told by a college student that had been in Katrina and who said he had basically been evacuated from his building. All kinds of stuff had been impacted, you know, just destroyed. And they were given this very small window of time. And they were given the opportunity to go back into their apartment and they could just get out whatever they could get out within a 20-minute interval. And he said, describes literally from the second floor, he's throwing stuff out over the balcony, just trying to get it out of the building. And he said, there's this disaster relief team. And I don't know what, you know, I say disaster relief, sometimes that's associated with a certain denomination or whatever, maybe. I don't know who it was connected with, but this group of people that were indeed believers. And at one point he's literally running up and down the stairs trying to get stuff. And a gentleman says to him, hey man, why don't you just not worry about that stuff? That stuff is temporal. Why don't you sit down right here and let's talk about something that's eternal. Mm. And I thought to myself, what a terrible, terrible thing to do. Yeah. And it's in these moments that we're reminded that, yeah, certainly things are temporal and certainly things are eternal, but we've got to step in and help people in their very temporal circumstances to be given the opportunity to talk about things that are eternal. How much more effective would it have been if that guy would have said, I'm going to get everything you own out of that apartment over the next 20 minutes. Me and all the buddies and I've got here, we're going to get everything you out and we're going to sit down and we're going to care for you. And then we'll talk to you about Jesus. And so we have to be mindful of that same thing as we step into a new season of storm.
And so as we prepare to come back from break, that's where we're going to focus is, how can the church react? We know it's coming.
Right.
So it's no surprise to us at this point. How can we engage with our culture, with our neighbors, to love them well during these times while also bringing them the greatest news this planet's ever seen?
We'll be back.
That is good. This is breaking news. We're going to start periscoping every show.
Really? I should not do the robot like that,
That may be the first time the robot dance ever been done.
In this studio.
In this studio and to that song. I'm pretty confident. pretty confident of that. I don't know. Bob Bell may do that.
Maybe so.
In the morning, so on Joy 620. But as we look at the what we believe is about to happen, if the weather folks are correct, and it appears that way, the hurricane is about to hit the coast. And so we've looked at kind of how God is involved in this, and we do believe he's the author of everything and allows certain things to happen for a number of different reasons. But now that we know it's going to happen, what is the response of the church? How do we, you know, why do we have disaster relief programs? Why does the Southern Baptist Church put so much effort into the disaster relief program? Why are there ministries that fill up semi-trailer truckloads of goods after a disaster? When the Smokies caught on fire, we filled up truck after truck after truck. Why were we able to do that? Why do we even feel inclined to do that, whether you're a churchgoer or not? And look at it from that standpoint, the response of the church in these moments.
Yeah, I want you to share a little bit as to even what we were talking about off air, but you think back on 9/11. Mm-hmm. You know, we think 17 years ago, one of the most memorable kind of defining moments of all of that was that while so many people were running away, mm-hmm. there were still hundreds of people that were running towards those buildings. Mm-hmm. And there was this thing that was in people that said, we need to serve. And certainly, to a certain degree, there were many of those people that were fulfilling an occupational responsibility. They were first responders, they were medics, they were whatever they were, and we are abundantly thankful mm-hmm. for them. And yet, I would imagine some of those people are in those roles, and then the people that even aren't in those roles but ran towards those buildings, there was a reason why they did that. And I personally believe it is because we are indeed image bearers, and there is something in us that says we are called to serve and we are called to help people in times of crisis.
Yeah, and when we see these moments and we hear story after story after these moments of what we would call heroes stepping up and taking care of folks. And they don't lead with, are you a Christian? They don't lead with, are you this political affiliation or, you know, where are you from?
We'll rescue you.
Yeah.
If
they, right. They lead with, I'm here to help. How can I help? How can I serve? And when we saw, what was it? Harvey that came through last year down in Houston, you saw people come out of everywhere with boats mm-hmm. and people drive from all across the country with their boats so they could help people. And that's what we're going to see here. This isn't, you know, what we tend to do with these things is we say, that's what America does. That's what Americans do.
Or in our state here. I mean, we are the Tennessee
exactly.
Volunteers.
Exactly. That's right. What volunteers do. And so that's part of it. Sure. And we want to encourage patriotism and all that. But I do believe there's something inside of all of us that we can't even explain, even down to, and I've said this before, even if when it comes to the life issue, all of us believe life is precious.
Right.
And why do we believe life is precious? Because the creator of life breathed life into us. And so even those that would say they don't believe in a creator, they don't believe in the gospel, there's something inside of them. They can't really pinpoint it. They can't explain it. But even secular folks would go, I'm going to help in this moment. And I don't know why. I'm going to go buy diapers
right.
for this family that I don't know and have never met. And it's a beautiful picture of what God has orchestrated. Strangers coming together for strangers. Why? Because it is ingrained inside of us.
Well, ultimately, it is a picture of the gospel mm-hmm. because we think, just to what you described earlier, I mean, candidly, need is universal.
Sure.
And some of these great heroes that we think of, we say help was not discriminatory. And mm-hmm. and ultimately, this is what Jesus did. Jesus gave help to those who said, I have need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that is what we do as Christ followers. We say we are broken, sinful people that cannot look to ourselves for salvation or sustaining. We need help. And Jesus said, that's all you had. That's all you had to do. And surrender all your efforts to survive yourself. You surrender that to me, and I will care for you. And so this is a picture of the gospel. Now, what we have to be careful of is that we don't just exclusively serve and never connect mm-hmm. some of those things. And ultimately, I believe that there are many people that are experiencing that tension within them, that they feel that almost that imprint of God's image on their life, but they don't know what to do with it. They don't know where that comes from. And a part of that for us is to say, no, that's God working in you. That's the Spirit drawing you to Himself.
Yeah, and as we prepare for that, I love being a part of and talking with guys that have been a part of disaster relief. And, you know, usually, I don't want to do a broad brush, usually it's kind of a rough, like just a dude that's really good with a chainsaw. Right. And I'm no speaker. I'm just, you know, I'm going to go and serve
these
families.
Put me in front of a group of kids and I can't do it. Yeah. But you give me a chainsaw, I love.
It's amazing. But what you find in those moments, and they say, you know, I'm not good with people. I'm not a good speaker. But when you watch them as they cut that tree up, what are they? They're sharing gospel moments with these families. They're handing water, which is another picture of what Jesus did. You know, saying to the woman at the well, like, this water you're looking for here isn't going to quench the thirst that you ultimately need. And so it's all a picture of what the gospel can do. It isn't just to serve. We're not serving just to serve. It's something inside of us that goes, I have to do this. I have to go and have these moments. And then what it does, and we were talking off air, is it then opens up the door to our church. It opens up the door to the local church to get people plugged in to say, look, in my time of need, not only did this man show up, but at the same time, Jesus showed up.
Right. Yeah. So what do we do in that we sit here? I think our weather, I checked it, but just a couple of days ago, I truly do think our weather is supposed to be fantastic this weekend. Mm-hmm. I think we've got some ball tournaments and stuff going on. Of course, the big Tennessee game. I don't know if you call it a big one. Any game. Sure. Yeah, exactly. Hey, a chance of win. But there's stuff happening this weekend. I think mm-hmm. we're supposed to have sunny weather. Certainly that could change. And so we're sitting here in sunny East Tennessee. Mm-hmm. What do we do? Because what we also know is that it's not really helpful for everyone just to jump in their pickup truck and to go and hurry into some city where everyone has already been evacuated mm-hmm. and just create a bunch of clutter. So what do we do?
Yeah, what I would say is it's a great moment for us to pray. Obviously, we pray for our neighbors on the East Coast. And we also, it's a good moment to have conversations. You know, I always look for moments as a dad. I'm always looking for moments. Okay, what kind of conversation do I need to have with my kids? They're going to be seeing, okay, there's a weather situation happening. What does that mean? It's just like yesterday, talking to them about 9/11. Are we using these moments for gospel opportunities? Yeah. There's a really good chance, and we know it firsthand. You have your mother-in-law is here.
Right.
There are people that have evacuated to Tennessee, East Tennessee. And so are we engaging with them? Are we being Bristol, just up the road? Bristol's opening up the campgrounds for anyone that's evacuated.
I kept hearing last night over my house, I don't know if you heard anything, but I kept hearing helicopters over my house, and I thought, what could be happening? They're literally evacuating from a number of our military bases to inland. And you think, well, gosh, we're a long ways away from that. But when you talk about planes and helicopters, it's not that big of a jaunt, you know. Yeah. And so that's what's happening. It again is an opportunity for us to talk, whether it's with our children. One of the things that I love as a pastor, moments like this give our people a reminder that the church is bigger than us. Mm-hmm. You know, we constantly say with Shoreline that we don't believe we're the superhero of the city. There are a number of wonderful, wonderful churches in this community, and all of those ones that I think are really wonderful believe that Jesus is the hero. Mm-hmm. And so what it does, though, it reminds us also that the kingdom is larger than our own city. It's larger than our own state. And so if we have relationships with other churches that are in these areas that are impacted, let's talk about those. Let's share those. If we have a relationship where we can say, tell us a specific need that mm-hmm. you have that might not be, connected to, a public response or something that's happening through one of our disaster relief agencies, you know, can we step into that? It's again a great opportunity. And then I would absolutely, we don't want to diminish,
right?
Guys, listen, it might be a little bit late if you say, hey, I just want to go and jump on one of these disaster relief teams. Of course, We as a Shoreline Church are indeed connected to our local association mm-hmm. of Baptist churches here. And I love Phil Young and our director right. of missions and all of those folks. But they are working year in, kind of day in and day out. And so what you need to do is you need to go get trained and prepared and ready. So when the next thing happens, because sadly we can recognize in this fallen world, there will be another thing. For Katrina, it was hard to imagine that something right. else would come after it. And yet we know the next thing happened mm-hmm. and the next thing happened and there will be more things. And ultimately, I personally believe that it will, to a certain degree, get worse. Worse mm-hmm. things are yet to come. And this all the more accentuates our need as the church to be mobilized, but also it accentuates the need that we have for Jesus as we look towards whatever end times may be, depending right. on your opinion.
And also, I just would say, you know, leading Hope Resource Center, a pregnancy center, there are pregnancy centers all up and down the coast that are going to be hit hard. And in those moments, the ones that aren't hit, they're going to be the ones handing out diapers to families that need diapers and formula to families that need formula. And so I would ask you to pray for pregnancy centers on the coast that are going to be facing the storm as well, because they know that there's going to be people in the community that needs them once the storm goes through. And so there's a lot of need out there. And the main thing is, don't just let it pass and not give it a second thought. We need to be praying for these folks.
And
we
don't
to,
minimize that
don't,
prayer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We need to be doing that. Yeah. That is a positive thing, and we certainly need to be engaged in the process. And I would strongly encourage you to go through the disaster relief training. See how you can engage and help out in these moments. Because if the church doesn't, if the gospel isn't moving us to do that, then who will?
That's right.
And so we'll talk more when we come back.
Jesus, your love is waking up my love. Jesus, your heart is waking up my heart. There is none like your
So today we've been talking about natural disasters and God's involvement in that, the church's involvement in that, the gospel's involvement in that. So continue to pray for the folks on the coast, those that have evacuated to Tennessee. If we can be a part to help, then we need to be need to be doing that and helping where we can. These are things that shouldn't surprise us either. I think sometimes we act surprised when disaster strikes, but as the church, it shouldn't surprise us right. that these things occur.
Well, it's interesting. I was actually just thinking off air that, you know, my as I said, my mother-in-law comes in town, and it almost truly we've almost treated it like, oh, this is a mm-hmm. a bonus visit for us. And I've got three boys. They just all had birthdays. Nana's coming to deliver birthday presents.
It is a bonus.
And all those things. Yeah. And that's the way it feels. But then I'm like, wait a minute. Like, reprogram my mind here. She is in the path of the mm-hmm. storm, or at least her residence is. And that is a daunting thing. And so it even is going to impact the way that I go back home after the show. I'm going to go home and catch up with her and the family, and we're going to eat dinner. And I just need to be mindful that this is someone who has been displaced from mm-hmm. her home, and the same mentality that I hope I'll take at dinner tonight is be one that we need to all take for these people that are coming in and out of our community, or the loved ones we know that are going somewhere else. Give an extra phone call, shoot an extra text, make sure that you're checking in on people. These are good opportunities. And then the other thing I would say that we didn't mention before the break is it's okay to give money yes. to organizations.
Yeah,
it is
yeah.
okay to give money to organizations. I would say, though, be wise with yep. your money. Pay attention to where you're giving your money to. One, there's a ton of scams out there, mm-hmm. but there are also a lot of organizations, unfortunately, that for every dollar you're given, a very, very small amount of that money is actually going to those that you're thinking of when you give that money. And so do your due diligence and make sure you're giving wisely.
And just because you see a GoFundMe, it doesn't mean it's credible. It doesn't mean it could be for anybody.
I believe that you are implying that everything on the internet is not always full of truth.
I don't know if you've heard that.
I'm uncomfortable with this conversation, but we will proceed.
There are some things out there. As a matter of fact, if you're on my contact list, there's a good chance you got an email yesterday from one Andrew Wood. And it was not from me.
Not you.
But it did say God bless to you. And,
that was kind.
I want God to bless you, but that email was,
it was not from you.
Was not from from this redheaded Andrew Wood, I can assure you. So as we close up, if you want to hear more of our voices, which of course you do, you can find this show, obviously, every Wednesday at 5 o'clock on Joy 620 Live. Or if you can't get enough and you just want to keep hearing it over and over again, you can listen to the podcast.
If you're one of those three people.
Yeah, you, my mom. And maybe that's it.
Maybe two people.
And so if you want to listen to the podcast, it's on iTunes, it's on the TuneIn app, it's on Google Play, it's on all the places that you can find.
Who are we kidding? My mom is not listening.
Mine probably not either. So, but I do listen.
Yes.
I do listen to it multiple times.
To make sure it's okay.
To edit things, just in case we ever
We do hope this is obviously really helpful for you. It's actually good for me. Truthfully, it's good for me to process some of these things aloud, to think aloud a bit. And I hope these prompt more conversations for you, whether it's in your workplace, as you described earlier, with our children, or with those around you in your church, in your church body. Talk about things that are happening between Sundays, and let's really try to dig into where Jesus is in the midst of all of that.
Well, and what we can do is when we know that they're coming, that these disasters are coming, and we do. And even yesterday was a great reminder. Hey, every single year on September 11th, if you're an American and you've lived that moment, it brings something up inside of you, a different memory and a different conversation. And so we need to be people that are willing to at least have our ears geared toward hearing people when they're going through some struggles.
It reminds me a little bit of the moments that I would sit in a waiting room with Carrie and we would know that we were about to have a child. And so with two of our pregnancies, they ended up having to be scheduled C-sections. And it was this moment that you literally knew in the hours ahead of us, my life is going to be changed. And this is one of those things that we, unless the weather forecasters are wrong, and we hope that's the case.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are watching something that could truly change the course of many people's history. Mm-hmm. And so let's be prayerful, but let's also seize the moment.
Yeah. And it's a great opportunity for the church to answer the call and for the gospel really to drive us to engage our neighbors. This is a great, great thing for the church to be leading on, and we're happy to talk to you about it today. We'll be back next week. Talk to you soon. Bless the Lord.